She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, February 17th. I don't know why I was going to say September. It's February, though, if you couldn't tell. Look out the window. And you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host, as always. Thrilled to be with you on a snowy Saturday morning up here in the Litchfield Hills. But not too bad out, I got to say. I was able to get in to the station without any trouble. Just, you know, slow it down, keep it safe, be smart out there. And yeah. In the meantime, we've got a great show set up for you here this morning. I've got representatives from Goshen Players. They're going to be talking about their upcoming production of Arsenic and Old Lace. And to top that off, I get to give away a pair of tickets. That's right. They're trusting me with a giveaway, which hopefully I haven't let them down yet. We'll see how it goes. But later on in the show, after What's the Buzz, I'll be giving away a pair of tickets to go see Arsenic and Old Lace. They are specifically for the Sunday, February 25th performance. So if you're interested in winning, awesome. We encourage it. Please, when I give you the word, make sure you call in. But make sure you have Sunday, February 25th free. It's not a voucher good for any show. It's specifically for that show. All right. But that's going to happen later on. That's going to happen after What's the Buzz. So we've got some time. In the meantime, why don't we learn more about the production? And to do that, I've brought in two guests this morning. Or rather, Goshen has sent them. I didn't bring them. Goshen sent them along. Thank you, Goshen. I'm joined this morning by director Wes Baldwin and by cast member Joel Michael, who plays Mortimer in this production of Arsenic and Old Lace. So good morning, gentlemen, to you both.
Good morning.
Great to have you back, Wes. It's been a hot second, but
I can't remember when I did The Importance of Being Earnest.
I think, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you were here with Jody, right?
Yes.
Yeah, your lovely wife, Jody. And Joel, you are a new guest here on Backstage, so welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And you're relatively new to the community theater scene, I believe.
I am, and this is my first show in Goshen.
First show in Goshen. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome. Goshen's a lovely venue.
It is.
The acoustics in there are fabulous with all the old wood and everything else. So what else have you done in the area that audiences might recognize you from?
I don't know. I in my head, New Milford is the same distance as here to me. So
oh, yeah.
It's like I was in a production called Cash on Delivery in New Milford.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was a really fun show. So that was probably the closest here. I've been sort of all over the state. So
oh, wow.
That's probably closest.
Well, welcome. Yeah, and off the air we were talking. You and I have crossed paths before at an audition over at the Warner once upon a time. So
yes, it was a really interesting. It was my second audition, so I knew absolutely nothing of what I was doing. My resume had nothing but hope on it, and I, you know, as you said before we got started, there was a lot of people there. Lots of people. And I didn't know at the time that that's not a normal audition. So after auditioning there, I went to the next audition. I'm like, there's no other guy that's my age here. So I was like, is this normal? And so, yeah, it was. But they were really nice and friendly and put together up there. So it was a good experience no matter what.
Mm. And I got to say, you know, all the theaters in the area really seem to have their stuff together. They know what they're trying to do. They don't really waste time, and they're always on the lookout for new people to come in and contribute and make it a true community theater. So so welcome. So Joel, what made you decide to jump into the theater world?
Oh, you know, it's I did like child theater, like when I was single digits. You know, you don't learn lines and you're doing like productions and stuff like that, and it was a lot of fun, and it was one of those things that as I got older I was like, oh, it'd be always really fun to revisit and see if I could do that. And then it was like, when you have time,
right.
And then eventually, like at one point I had time and I was like, oh, okay, like maybe I'll try this. And so that's how it happened.
There you go. You know, and it's amazing how many people have similar stories of you know, I did this once a long time ago, let me see if I...
Yeah, we have a couple cast members, actually. I think there's at least one other that I know from memory that used to do theater many, many years ago, and this is her first show back. And so there's usually a pretty good mix of people. Like, we also have one person who this is her first show ever.
Oh, wow.
So
she's done improv before.
She's done improv, but this is her first stage production, and is doing wonderfully. And so it's just a mix of people that, you know, veterans to brand new. It's awesome.
There you go. So like I always say, folks, if you're ever interested, take a shot. You know, what do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. And community theaters are always looking for people. And if being on stage scares you, that's fine. You could work backstage. You could work front of house. You could do lights. You could do costumes. There's so many things you could do to get involved. So our theaters can only thrive the way they do with support of the community. So
I think one thing that would be surprising to people is when they think about being on stage, they think about it like public speaking, which I have done professionally, and it is totally different for me. Like, it, you know, public speaking is incredibly nerve-wracking, and it's like you're like eye contact with the audience, and you're just like, it's that, you know, that well-known panic that you have. But stage feels so different. I mean, you're in so lockstep, and you've got this whole team that you're working with on there. So I think people who think like, oh yeah, I might want to do that, but also I don't want to like be in front of people, it's totally different.
Oh yeah. And you're not you, you're somebody else, which is the most comforting part for me, that it's never me up there. It's always the character, whoever the character happens to be. So, but we're talking about Arsenic and Old Lace, which is a classic. It's been around for quite some time. There was a film version once upon a time with, I think, Cary Grant playing Mortimer, if I remember correctly. So, Wes, as the director, would you like to give our audience a little quick synopsis of what the play is all about?
The play...
Without giving away too much, of course.
Yeah, I know. Well, the synopsis was in our advertisements.
But, oh, well, there you go.
I'm not going to share that much. It's just a couple of elderly sisters, very charitable, who have a particular charity that they're now engaging in. Their nephew Mortimer finds out about it, and the story's about how he comes to terms with it and saves them from deep trouble.
Yes. it's a comedy. It's a little bit of a dark comedy, but there's also some very broad comedy that takes place. Mortimer, is it his brother that thinks he's Teddy
Jonathan,
Roosevelt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Constantly charging up the stairs.
In the course of my research, I found out that Arsenic and Old Lace was originally written as a thriller.
Ooh.
And it was the opening weekend audience that convinced the writers to rewrite it as a comedy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So the audience received it a little differently than the writers intended.
Yep.
Okay. You know, but that can happen.
Yeah.
And kudos to them for having the sensibility of saying, you know what?
Yes.
It's not going to work the way we wanted it to, but it'll definitely work the way that they're finding it. So, Joel, what's your experience with comedy? I mean, I know you said you're somewhat new to the theater scene, but is comedy kind of where you've been gravitating? Or?
Yeah, comedy is my jam. I mean, okay. I've done a couple murder mysteries that are fun, but I am really not good at fake drama. Like, you know, like the shock face, the audience can't see me, but it's like, oh my God. Like, it's just not natural for me. Like, comedy is very, very natural. Comedy, some drama in a comedy is fine, but like a straight drama is like really hard for me to manufacture that. And so that's part of why I drive sort of all over the state to find the right kind of part that is comedy, which is hard. You know, it's hard to find that.
It can be. But, you know, we're blessed in this corner of the state. We have so many great theater groups, and even all across the state. You know, Connecticut's sort of a hotbed.
There's a surprising amount of community theaters. When I talk to people that are not familiar, like I have a lot of people that come to see me in shows and stuff like that. I'm like, there are so many community theaters all over.
Yeah. Where do you hang your hat, by the way?
I live in Middletown.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So not a terrible distance away. But.
No, I try to keep my range about an hour, out to an hour for a really good part, and that gives me almost, you know, I would say 75% of the community theaters in Connecticut I can hit in an hour. So that's a pretty good range. I'm central located.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking this morning with director Wes Baldwin and actor Joel Michael from the Goshen Players production of Arsenic and Old Lace, which is opening on... Oh, lost it. Hold on. There it is. Opening on February 24th, running through March 10th, with Friday, Saturday shows at 8 and Sunday shows at 3. You can go to GoshenPlayers.org for tickets and information. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, I am giving away a pair of tickets to the Sunday, February 25th performance of Arsenic and Old Lace, so stay tuned for that. But just to give us the occasional break from talking and whatnot, I've collected some songs that, because Arsenic and Old Lace is not a musical, and because it's a very different kind of show.
It will be someday.
Yeah. Probably.
A musical or different?
A musical.
Oh, okay.
Well, both. But I mean, the Super Bowl just dropped the trailer for the new Wicked movie, which is a movie based on a musical based on a book, and then we just had the Mean Girls movie, which was based on the musical, which was based on the movie. So Arsenic and Old Lace, which is a play, then a movie, and someday, you know.
Yeah.
But I digress. finding songs sometimes for plays can be a challenge, and Arsenic and Old Lace is one of those. But one of the ones I found, I think, fits nicely. It's from a fairly modern musical. It's about someone that comes to a house and realizes that things aren't exactly what they were expecting, which I thought kind of fit nicely with the whole Arsenic and Old Lace conceit. So here from Beetlejuice, the original Broadway cast recording, this is Girl Scout.
This is it, the day I've been waiting for, wishing, hoping, working and praying for, the day my parents have been delaying for years. Oh, I'm gonna sell some cookies. It's not their fault that they're overprotective. I was born with arrhythmia. My heart is defective. Only take one shock and I could be dead from the fear. Still, I'm gonna sell some cookies. Hike by hike, song by song, the Girl Scouts helped my heart grow strong. Could stop from tetralogy of phthalate in my pulmonary artery. When you're a Girl Scout, everything's gonna work out. Even if you're born with congenital heart disease and you could be killed by a random sneeze, you're a Girl Scout and everything's gonna work out. Just gonna ring the bell of these creepy looking house.
Hello, little girl.
Yes, I'm high. My name is Skye, and I'm here today to support the Girl Scouts by selling cookies. $4 a box, would you like some?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, what flavors you got?
Well, I've got chocolate, banana, and old brand pecan, Samoas and Thin Mints, and one that tastes like apple pie.
Why don't you come inside?
But we're really not supposed to.
Why?
Pedophiles. But it's so cold, and you're not mean, and no one gets molested by a gothy teen. So I guess, okay, it's fine.
Yeah?
In here.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
Okay. Well, maybe I should come back another time when your parents are home?
Boo!
That was Girl Scout from Beetlejuice, the original Broadway cast recording, here on Backstage on WZBG. And, yeah, that song just kind of fits the whole concept of you show up to this seemingly unassuming house and you're encountering something you're not prepared for. I have to give a shout out to my lovely and talented girlfriend, Lynn. She put me onto that number because I haven't seen Beetlejuice yet, but
You should.
I've heard good things. Mm. I've heard good things. I'm always a little hesitant with the movies that are turned into the musicals.
Yep. This one's worth it.
Okay. All right. I'll keep that in mind.
And if you don't like it, you know who to blame.
Right.
Yeah.
Wes.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
No. You heard it here, folks.
No,
you got it on
no,
tape,
no,
I assume.
No, digital. We're 21st century here at WZBG. But I'm talking this morning with director Wes Baldwin and cast member Joel Michael from the Goshen Players production of Arsenic and Old Lace, which opens next weekend and runs through, why did I just change that screen, runs through March 10th. So a nice three-weekend run you get there for Arsenic and Old Lace. Now, Wes, as director, I know Arsenic and Old Lace, the set has some requirements in it, and I know Goshen makes fabulous use of the space they have, but the space is slightly limited. So did you find yourself running into any trouble with set design?
We've had some traffic issues.
Yeah.
12 actors on stage, on a little tiny stage. You know,
lots of movement.
Yeah. That could be a little bit challenging, but
I think we got it under control.
Well, you're a seasoned pro. I mean, you do it all. You direct, you do lights, you do tech,
Used to.
Not so much anymore.
My knees won't let me.
Oh, yeah. I know all about knee trouble. Don't get me wrong.
35 years as a carpenter.
There you go.
Not taking care of myself, you know.
Well,
they said it would come back to haunt me, and here I am.
Still waiting. but, you know, folks, do what you need to do to take care of yourselves, yep. right? Here on WZBG, especially on here on Backstage, we're all about positivity and care and love, and sometimes caring for yourself is the most important kind of care. So, but 12 really, you got 12 in the cast. Holy moly. That's a good sized group. So I know you have Joel Michael. Any other names we might recognize off the top of your head that?
Well, not to seem nepotistic, but my wife plays Abby.
Ooh.
My son has three small roles in the play.
Oh.
We also have a recently retired professional opera singer who's playing the other aunt in the play.
Martha's played by Kim Whitaker.
Oh wow.
Michelle Slavonsky plays Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who came from improv to us as her first play. She's doing wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing wonderful.
And I know some photos have been posted up on the Facebook page.
I did not approve these.
Did I see Roger Grace in the cast?
Yes.
Love
Roger
Grace.
Roger Grace plays Dr. Einstein.
Love Roger Grace. He's fabulous. And I see Jonathan Ross as well.
Jonathan Ross is playing Jonathan. I don't know how I figured that out.
Is that typecasting?
Yeah, I think so. Once a Jonathan, always a Jonathan.
Apparently. At least you never have to worry about him answering to the wrong name.
Yeah.
So that's a good mix of some veteran people and some newer faces.
It's a wonderful cast.
You know, nepotism can't really exist in community theater because...
Yeah. It's a bucket list role for Jody. She's always wanted to play.
Oh, it's a fabulous part. Yeah, so.
It was done, I think the Warner did it a few years ago. Well, quite a few years ago.
Yeah, before I was hosting Backstage, I know that much.
Yeah, she thought about auditioning at that time and just never did it, but she still... I wasn't originally going to direct, I was going to stage manage, but the Jen Gleason, who was supposed to direct, had some health issues and had to step down.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Sending well wishes out to Jen Gleason.
She's doing well.
Good.
She's doing well. But.
Good. So, Joel, coming into this group, you know, some new faces and some veteran faces, you know, how was it getting to know everybody and forming that cast bond that inevitably happens?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was great. And I think we've all been in casts that are like, okay, and then casts that are really great. And we have a good mix. I think it's always tricky with like larger ensembles because you have certain people that you don't really see all that much. Like there's certain people until we started actually getting the whole cast for entire runs, like I have never actually spent a lot of time with. And so, you know, in this next week as we enter tech, I think we're looking forward to that, you know, that intense bonding time and seeing people that you know, don't really, like you really don't have a chance to interact with. But in general, it's been really fun. I think the character Elaine that we were talking about, she and I have like, you know, we auditioned together, I think, and we just had like great rapport right from the start and like was so much fun. And it's always great when you have that chemistry to start with.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
They've been working really hard on not giggling every time they see each other.
Oh, it's one of those casts.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, there's a lot of moments like that. And like I, you know, by the time we get through this next week, I will find nothing funny ever again. But
it's what happens when you tell two strangers that they're deeply in love.
Right.
In the 1940s. So you have like a very specific construct as to how that looks like. And, you know, managing against that and some of the dialogue is sometimes funny. And she's hilarious. And like there's a lot of scenes where we have to like, we have these looks at each other and it's like very prolonged and it's hard to stay in character because it's we want the audience to feel it with us and sort of keep it for that minute.
Well, it's probably also good that you're feeling the humor though, because that means that it's coming through even after you've done it umpteen times. And
for sure, I think when I did Cash on Delivery, the Cash on Delivery was like drop on the floor laughing, and we had a hard time getting through rehearsals because it was so funny. And so I think like this show is really funny too, and I think based on the parts that there's stuff that, I mean, like Wes has seen it 100 times at this point, you still hear him laughing in the audience. So like there are parts that are just really, really funny.
Of course. You mentioned that whole idea of being in love with a complete stranger. Mm-hmm. Not that your characters are strangers to one another, but that you were a stranger to your counterpart there. How is that process for you? Because I know that a lot of times for actors, finding that intimacy can be challenging or awkward or what have you.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's all acting anyway, but I think what I have found, because for whatever reason, every character I've played has had some onstage, like wife, fiance, whatever that is. So there's always been something. And I was in a show a couple shows ago, and the woman that was playing my girlfriend and I, like we acted really well together, but we did not have that same chemistry. And so it was really hard to manufacture the quote-unquote intimacy of it.
Sure.
Whereas like with Elaine, you know, we just had a great rapport right from the start, so it felt very comfortable, and we just sort of lean into the silliness of it, and so it feels like, you know, it just feels a little bit more natural, I guess.
There you go. Now, Wesson, you said you took over the directing duties. Mm-hmm. At what point was that, before the auditions took place or after the auditions took place?
It was at the very beginning.
At the very beginning?
Yeah, before audition.
Okay. So going into the auditions, were there things you were looking for, or were you just open to whatever?
I was open to the characters that, you know, showed up. And I think I was very fortunate to find the people I found. actually, Joel was sent to me by...
I was sent to him.
Yeah.
By a mutual friend. That's yes. Simsbury. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Diana Yeisley, who I mentioned before, we were in the green room. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing people don't always realize. Community theater is community in the sense of local people making it happen, but also you work here with this theater company, and somebody knows somebody in another theater company, and, oh, we need somebody that's like you. How would you like to go talk to?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're networked into all these different
And for the
groups.
Actor, it's, you know, sometimes you're like trying to vet out, especially if you're going to a new theater, you don't know the players. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they like? How do they, you know, how do they function? Because there's always, and you probably feel this too, there's always like there's a risk in auditioning in that, like, if you got cast and there was something else that was like a week later that might have been a better fit. So you're always trying to like play the odds of like, is this the right show for me, or is the next show the right show for me? So they helped, like, really, she's the one that sort of pushed me of like, it's a really good show and you should go do it.
Oh yeah, it's a phenomenal show. And Goshen, I've done the second most community theater shows at Goshen out of the places I've worked. So
it's really well put together theater. Mm-hmm. They're so good there. Mm-hmm. So much like ancillary support too, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our normal cast and crew, but we also have people doing costumes. The guy, Joe, that is the president, is just like, you know, he's also producing constantly around doing like all
shout out to
things.
Joe Gadadaro.
Yeah.
I
tease him sometimes that he lives at the theater. Every time I go there, he's there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Goshen's one of those fully volunteer groups. Yep. So, you know, they don't have a full-time staff or anything like that. So it's about that love and dedication. And
for those that haven't been there, it's a really nice-sized theater, right? Like, it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's, like, intimate enough that you're, like, you feel like you're part of what's happening on the stage. But it's not so tiny that it's, like, crowded. So it feels like a really nice-sized theater for the audience. Yeah.
And I believe you're doing the cabaret seating. Mm-hmm. For this production,
this is Goshen Players' 75th season.
There you go. There you go. So it's this cabaret seating, which means you can have some snacks and some beverages and whatnot. And it's seats about 80-ish or somewhere so. Mm-hmm. With that setup, and I think I saw. Let me double check here because it's up on the old social media. They're doing a dinner theater package on March 2nd, so you can get a catered dinner for that particular performance. And I think they also have a partnership where you can get like a charcuterie tray or something you can order.
Yeah, we're doing that ourselves.
So, you know, a lot of great little perks if you want when you go see a show at Goshen Players. So it's Arsenic and Old Lace coming to the Old Town Hall in Goshen, thanks to our friends at Goshen Players, opening on February the 24th, running through March 10th. You can go to goshenplayers.org for tickets and information. And, of course, I'm also giving away a pair of tickets later on in the show, but those are specifically for the February 25th performance, the first matinee, so next Sunday. But stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's take another little pause here and do a song. And this was recommended to me for this morning by my lovely and talented girlfriend, Lynn. It's from A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. And again, it kind of fits with the Arsenic and Old Lace. This is called Poison in My Pocket.
You and I go sailing by, and no one will know where to find us. Unseen, unknown, and blissfully alone, we're leaving the riffraff behind us. All afternoon in our sweet cocoon, our cares for the moment at bay.
Side by side, who knows how far we'll glide. Bid the world goodbye, eagerly we fly away.
I'm standing here with poison in my pocket, standing on this frozen little dock. It seems that I've just let them skate my opportunity away. If I'd had the poise to put the poison in a pot of tea or else a shot of gin, I would be back amid the noise of London by the end of day. But I am standing here with poison in my pocket, one eye on the target, one eye on the clock. It better happen soon before I lose my nerve and run. If I had a knife, I could have grabbed him, then discreetly knocked him on the head and stabbed him, not to mention what I would have done if I had had a gun. Then again, the thought occurs, if I had truly taken stock, it might have stopped me putting poison in my pocket. What a fool to travel all this way and not think twice. Murder's not a hobby for the cautious. Thoughts of violence can make the timid nauseous. Unless, of course, the victim plunges headlong through the ice. It appears that I've been handed quite an opportune solution. All that still remains is proper execution. I had better join them on the lake before it gets too late. Suddenly there is no stumbling block. It means that I won't need the poison in my pocket. What a stroke of luck. Sabella teased me till I learned to skate.
Closer now, time is racing.
Time is racing now,
time is racing on. It's all a matter of pacing. In a moment, this moment will be gone.
With your rhythm of a violinist, I'm soaring where I think the ice is thinnest, to create a world through which the tragic lovers meet their time. One could call this rather diabolic. Is it strange to feel a wee bit melancholic? Like a twinge of some remorse, of course, of conscience, I assume. But no, as I'm cutting, I am contemplating, and the truth is it's a tad exhilarating, even though it is not inconceivable that I'll be caught. Still it comes as quite a shock. It seems a novice standing here with poison in his pocket, and his hand murdering is easier than he had thought.
Bid the world goodbye, eagerly we fly.
Away. All of this is frankly easier than I had thought.
Every single minute matters. It's truly a matter of life and death.
Earthquake in Turkey, 50,000 dead. Flooding in Libya, 40,000 displaced. Cyclones in Malawi, more than 500,000 affected. Conflict in Syria, 1 million dead. Drought in Somalia, 8 million affected. 735 million going hungry every night. Care is there. Visit care.org.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in our theater world, shall we? First up, performances. Goshen Players, as we've been talking about here this morning, are doing Arsenic and Old Lace, opening next Saturday, February 24th, and running through March 10th. For tickets and information, you can go to goshenplayers.org. Also, make sure you stay tuned, because after What's the Buzz, I will be giving away a pair of tickets to the February 25th performance, so don't miss that. Landmark Community Theater has announced their production of Escape to Margaritaville. That's going to be opening March 2nd, running through March 17th. Check out landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information. Phoenix Stage Company opened their production of The Farce of Habit that opened last night. It's running through next weekend, February 24th. Check out phoenixstagecompany.org for information and tickets. And you might see me there this weekend, so keep your eyes peeled. And then TheaterWorks New Milford, they're going to be doing Wait Until Dark. That's going to run March 28th through April 14th. You can find tickets and information at theaterworks.us. And the Warner Theater will be opening their production of The Irish and How They Got That Way. That'll be March 2nd through March 17th. Check out warnertheater.org for all your information and ticket needs. One audition to mention, Landmark Community Theater has announced auditions for the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Those will be taking place on February 18th and 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. over at the Thomaston Opera House. For more information, go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org. And that's the buzz for this morning. We're going to pause for a quick word from a sponsor, and then we'll come back, and I've got those tickets to give away.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace, the funniest show in town.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Martha.
We play the Brewster Sisters.
We give comfort to lonely old men.
Every family has its secrets, and the eccentric Brewster family is no exception.
I'm Mortimer Brewster, and I've discovered that my sweet old aunts have a new hobby, and it gives having skeletons in your closet a whole new meaning.
Chaos ensues as Mortimer tries to keep his aunts out of trouble and deal with his crazy relatives. With witty dialogue and unforgettable characters, Arsenic and Old Lace will have you on the edge of your seat.
Goshen Players presents Arsenic and Old Lace live on stage, 3 weekends, February 24th through March 10th.
All tickets are $25 and can be reserved at goshenplayers.org.
Arsenic and Old Lace is a madcap comedy about the only thing more deadly than poison, family.
There's cabaret seating at all performances. Tickets are going fast, so be sure to reserve yours today at goshenplayers.org. That's goshenplayers.org.
Elderberry wine, anyone?
And yeah, look at that. It's a promo for Arsenic and Old Lace over at Goshen Playhouse here on Backstage on WZBG. And that's what we're talking about here this morning on Backstage is Arsenic and Old Lace. I'm joined by director Wes Baldwin and cast member Joel Michael from the production. And these tickets that I've got, again, they're for Sunday, February 25th. They're burning a hole in my pocket, so I got to get rid of them. I got to get them out in the world. So if you have not won anything from us in the last 30 days, you are eligible. All you got to do is call the station, and I'm going to give this pair of tickets away. Again, it's Sunday, February 25th. Make sure you mark it in your calendars, the 25th of February, next Sunday. I'm going to give these tickets away to a random caller. So all you got to do is call the station at 860-567-3697. That's 860-567-FM97. And a random caller is going to win them. So in the meantime, here's a little something for you to listen to from Chicago, the new Broadway cast recording. This is the Cell Block Tango.
And now, the six merry murderesses of the Cook County Jail in their rendition of the Cell Block Tango!
Pop. Six. Squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop. Six.
Squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop, fit, squish. Cicero.
Lipschitz.
Pop, fit, squish. Cicero.
Lipschitz.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
Pop, fit, squish.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
You know how people have these little habits that get you down? Like Bernie. Bernie liked to chew gum. No, not chew.
Pop.
Well, I came home this one day and I am really irritated and looking for a little sympathy. And there's Bernie laying on the couch drinking a beer and chewing. No, not chewing. Popping. So I said to him, I said, Bernie, you pop that gum one more time. And he did. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired two warning shots into his head.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have heard it, I bet you he would have done the same.
I met Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City about 2 years ago, and he told me he was single and we hit it off right away. So we started living together. He'd go to work, he'd come home, I'd mix him a drink, we'd have dinner. It was like heaven in 2.5 rooms. And then I found out. Single, he told me? Single my ass. Not only was he married, oh no, he had 6 wives. One of those Mormons, you know? So that night when he came home, I mixed him his drink as usual. You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
Ha! He had it coming. Up. He had it coming. He took a flower in his pride. And then he used it. And he abused it. It was a murder, but not a crime.
Now, I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm carving up chicken for dinner. Minding my own business. And in storms my husband, Wilbur, in a jealous rage. You've been screwing the milkman, he says. He was crazy, and he kept on screaming, "You've been screwing the milkman!" And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times!
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
It cara shekinita, smonyo koye hirish latkum lofor karafeya meta megla chottum of fayet. De nemikos in atatlum fayok, nem to de memonia uncle Samo in tetum. Travaltam a render shagin meg me arasni de nem etatak meg.
Yeah, but did you do it?
Not guilty.
My sister Veronica and I did this double act, and my husband Charlie used to travel around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Split, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. Well, this one night we were in Cicero, the three of us, sitting up in a hotel room, boozing, and having a few laughs, and we ran out of ice, so I went out to get some. I come back, open the door. There's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead. They had it coming. They had it coming. They had it coming all along. I didn't do it, but if I'd done it, how could you tell me that I was wrong?
More than I can possibly say. He was a real artistic guy. Sensitive. A painter. But he was troubled. He was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself. And along the way, he found Ruth. Gladys. Rosemary. And Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive, and I saw him dead.
The dirty bum, 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 bum. The dirty bum, 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 bum. They had it come, they had it come.
Number 17, the spread eagle.
Artistic difference.
I betcha you would have done the same.
That was the Cell Block Tango from the new Broadway cast recording of Chicago here on Backstage on WZBG. And congratulations going out to Scott in Torrington. He was our winner of that pair of tickets for the Sunday, February 25th. Performance of Arsenic and Old Lace at the Old Town Hall in Goshen. If you didn't win, I do apologize. I'd love nothing more than to give everybody that calls tickets, but, you know, the theaters do need to sell some seats. So if you didn't win, there are tickets available. Please go to GoshenPlayers.org and pick your performance and go check it out. It's going to be a fabulous time. As the two gentlemen with me this morning can attest, I'm joined by director Wes Baldwin and cast member Joel Michael, and we're talking all about the show, all about the production. And I know that in Goshen, when you want a set built, the man to talk to is Dave Boscarino.
Mm-hmm.
He's been their set builder, set designer for quite a while now. Has he started construction yet? Are we?
Oh, it's done.
It's done.
It's done.
He is amazing. He is so fast, and it's like you're in rehearsal one night. There's nothing on the stage. You come back two nights later, the whole set's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's what was the story? The Shoemaker's Elves, right? He's like the Shoemaker's Elves. Yep. He's just there when you never pay attention, and boom, it's done. So. Joel, as an actor, what's it like now stepping into the space with the set and having that physicality there for you?
Yeah, I mean, like Wes said, we've actually had it for a while. I think most of there are little bits that are, you know, getting like painted and added and, you know, detail being added, but we've had it for a while. I think it's definitely helpful, particularly for a show where there's a lot of doors and door movement and door opening and running in and out and all that stuff. It's hard
and stairs.
You know, as Wes said, you know, it's a smaller set with lots of people, so the blocking of running around people, it's hard to do if you don't have like the table and the chair and all that stuff. And so it was definitely helpful once that came out, because it allows us to oh, everything we just did before does not work now because we have we have more stuff on the stage.
Yeah. Lana Peck, who's in the show, has a role as a police officer, and did the set decorating.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Just finished yesterday. Yeah, she's incredible.
Her detail. I was
meticulous.
I kind of forced my way into taking something from a production that she and I were in, and she had done this portrait of the character that I was playing, you know, me as the character, and I just fell in love with it, and I kind of harangued my way into being able to take that when all was said and done.
Well,
so
she's done that with a couple things, right?
Yeah. There's a moment when Mortimer is talking about his great-grandfather, and he points to his portrait, and at first we had this little portrait on a bookcase that was kind of hard for the audience to see, so I asked her if we could have, I liked the picture. I wanted her to blow it up, and she went home and did a larger portrait of somebody you should immediately recognize. And I thought it was wonderful. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you'll recognize the guy as soon as you see him.
You have to go see the show. Is really
she also. She also, there's one of the doors is an entry door, and on the inside of the entry door, she painted a welcome mat on the floor.
That's the thing, that every time we show up, there's something new. Like,
there's something new.
This has been painted. That new has been added. Yeah. You know, she's doing crown molding on the stage. There's just like all kinds of stuff that just keeps getting added as we get there.
And the people that are sitting on the floor level are not going to notice the welcome mat. That's really only for the cast and for
That's
the people
for the
in the
cast.
Balcony.
Yep. Yep. We did... We did Lost in Yonkers there. We were supposed to do it in 2020, and it got shut down because of the pandemic. So the set was there and ready to go for 2 years.
Really?
And she used up the time that she couldn't, you know, be out and doing things by painting floors in every one of the offstage rooms.
Oh,
in
wow.
every doorway, there was a different floor. The mosaic tiles in the bathroom, and an area rug in this door, and...
She is fabulous.
She is incredible.
She's just incredible. The best. Shout out to Lana Peck, friend of the show.
I also want to give a shout out to Michelle Ifas, who is sitting in the stage manager's chair for the first time on this show and doing a wonderful job. She really is.
And that's a big job, stage managing. And and people might not realize how much goes into it. But, you know, the director kind of sets everything and this is what it should be. And then the stage manager's responsibility is to make sure that it all kind of happens the way it's supposed to happen.
And she's a busy woman. She just came off of the timing was perfect. She came off of Nuncrackers at Landmarks. She was in Nuncrackers and came off of that to do this show with me. And before that, she did Rocky. She was an assistant stage manager for Rocky Horror. And
there you go.
Yeah, great lady.
It's so great that we have these people that are so multi-talented. They can perform. They can work backstage. They can do all the, Joe Gattadaro, president of Goshen Players. He acts, he produces, he directs, what doesn't he do? You know, so to have people like Lana and Michelle and you, Wes, with all the wonderful things you do. Anytime I walk into a production and I see that you're part of it, I'm like, oh, I'm in good hands, I know. You know.
Thank you very much.
Wes has got me. If anything else goes wrong, I know Wes has got me, so... Joel, I'm sure you're finding that as well now that you're, foraying into all these theaters. You're finding these people that are just, miracle workers.
For sure, and I think each, you know, theater is run differently with mm-hmm. different amounts of cast and different amounts of, you know, ancillary people. I've been lucky. I've had a lot of really good directors, but, you know, they don't always have the support staff and the back-end people and producers mm-hmm. to do all the stuff that needs to come together with the show, you know. I mean, I've walked on to Tech Week without even having talked to anyone about a costume because I was new and I didn't know that I was like, was I supposed to prompt that conversation or not?
Right,
like
right,
this
right,
show,
right.
I mean, it was like our first or second rehearsal. They were tape measuring us and every time we came in, they're like, try this on, put this on. And Joe was like committed that I was going to wear a sweater vest. And so he just like kept being like, we're going to make this sweater vest work. So it's just a totally different experience when you're like, okay, I don't have to worry about like what kind of shoes I'm wearing.
Right. And who is doing costumes for you?
Mary Beth Higgins.
Oh, okay, Mary Beth.
Yeah, she and Joe are collaborating on
mm-hmm. it. Fabulous costume.
Cassie McKenna's doing props.
Oh, Cassie, yeah. Love Cassie. Yeah.
We have a lot of props.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. Well, this is...
The sisters have a lot of business.
This is...
Actually, we had a rehearsal last night specifically for their business.
Oh, really?
They have to strip tables and set tables.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
It's always something.
Yeah.
And set out the elderberry wine, and you know, as one does. But yeah, that's that Goshen crew is really top notch.
Really?
You know, I just came off of a show in Goshen back in December, and again, Cassie was doing props, and I'm pretty sure Mary Beth was involved with the costumes, if I remember correctly. And
I think for theater goers, you know, like obviously the cast being good and having a good show is a big part of it, but mm-hmm. it's all the little detail stuff that comes together that makes it feel magical as
yes.
you're in there. And I know when I did a show in New Milford, a lot of the feedback I got from like my cousin who's a regular theater goer in New York is she's like, it felt like a full-scale Broadway production of like, you know, any play I would have seen right. there. And so but that's the details that does
right.
it, right?
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, Lana doing the crown molding and like all these other pieces are what's yeah. like making that happen.
Yeah.
Al Hathaway came up from Phoenix to do our lighting design.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So quite the crew that's been assembled, I must say. Why don't we do this? Because it's, 9:50. The time is flying. Let's pause for another song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk weather, and we'll kind of wrap things up, and I'll let you guys go off and do the great things that you do, and I'll go slinking back to my cave where I'm, you know, where I'm kept until I'm needed.
I'm going to tell Lynn you said that.
she's traveling on weekends right now, so it's basically, yeah, I stay at home, and I enjoy I'm a natural introvert, believe it or not, so I enjoy my time on my own. But this is a song, another song, kind of an offbeat. It's about a group of people that are not quite what you would expect. From the original Broadway cast recording of The Addams Family, this is When You're an Addams.
Ah, the intoxicating spell of the graveyard. Once a year, when the last leaf of autumn falls, we gather to honor the great cycle of life and death. Come, every member of our clan, living, dead, and undecided, and let us celebrate what it is to be an Addams. When you're an Addams, you need to have a little moonlight. When you're an Addams, you need to feel a little chill. You have to see the world in shades of gray. You have to put some poison in your day.
That's the way
when
you're
an Addams. You need to have a sense of humor. When you're an Addams,
you need to have a taste for death.
Who cares about the world outside and what it wants from you? When you're an Addams, you do what Addams always do. When you're an Addams, you gotta have a lot of passion. When you're an Addams,
you need to really love your wife
several times a day.
You're happy when your toes are in the mud. You smile a bit the moment you smell blood.
When you're an Addams,
you need to grab a bow and arrow.
When you're an Addams,
you need a moment to explode.
Just pour a potion,
flip the switch,
and wait till things get hot. When you're an Addams, you have to really stir the pot.
So keep your sunshine and keep your glee. Country music in Tennessee.
Keep your laughter
and MTV.
And all will be alright. Give us shadows and give us gloom. Broken glass in a motel room. Something fun we can all assume. And give it all tonight.
And on this special night beneath our family tree, we summon our beloved ancestors.
From whatever cult now to be up here.
Every cadaver start the palaver once in an atmosphere.
Cult, you're decaying here. What we're saying, try now to give a cheer.
Line dance!
When You Were in Adams, from the original Broadway cast recording of The Addams Family, here on Backstage on WZBG. And this morning we're talking about Arsenic and Old Lace at the Goshen Players in Old Town Hall in Goshen there, opening on the 24th and running through March 10th. I'm joined this morning by director Wes Baldwin and cast member Joel Michael, and it's time to talk weather. And Wes, you lost the thumb wrestling match.
I did.
So why don't you let us know what the weather's going to be?
Today, on and off snow showers through early mid-afternoon, becoming quite breezy this afternoon with late-day partial clearing, highs in the 30s. Total snow coating about an inch. Tonight, mainly clear and cold, lows 15 to 20. Sunday, partly sunny, blustery, and chilly, high 30. Sunday night, clear, brisk, and cold, low 20s. Monday, mostly sunny, blustery, and cool, high 35. Monday night, clear in the low 20s, and Tuesday, sunny, lighter wind, and high in 40.
Blustery,
yes.
Very blustery.
It's currently about 28 degrees at our WZBG studios in Litchfield. So, yes, a snowy morning, although the sun's coming out, which is nice. And typo. Gotcha.
Almost got me.
It was a test.
Yeah.
He wanted to see if you'd say it on the air.
Bill Sutri.
Yeah, Bill Sutri. That's exactly what it is. We have to challenge our guests from time to time, you know.
Thank you.
Keep things on the toes.
Keep everybody on their toes. I just pass out the copy. I don't do the editing. But yeah, 28 degrees. The sun's coming out though. It looks like the plows have been out this morning, and I said it last weekend, and I'll say it again this weekend. We have some great plow companies here in Connecticut that really do yeoman's work in keeping us functioning and able to get out and about and. Just be aware, be safe, be smart. No need to go bombing around out there. Just, take it easy. And the nice thing about winter weather is that it drives people indoors where they can see great theater like mm-hmm. Arsenic and Old Lace, which is coming up at Goshen Playhouse. So, Wes, what are you hoping audiences take away from all this when it's all said and done?
Sore stomach muscles.
But not from food.
It's an enjoyable night out. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great cast. I think they're going to love it.
There you go. Joel, how about you? What are you hoping for?
Yeah, I think it's always great as cast to see people laugh, but I had a director once that said, you know, these people that come to the show are intentionally pulling themselves out of their own world for a couple of hours to enjoy a different experience in a different world. And live theater is just so different than the movies or anything else. So I hope that people leave there being like, hey, that was a really cool use of my time.
There you go. We're just about out of time. So I want to say to both of you, thank you so much for coming in this morning, braving the elements and the early morning and joining me. I hope I break all the legs with the production, and I'm looking forward to it, hoping to get a chance to see it. It's Arsenic and Old Lace from February 24th through March 10th. You can go to GoshenPlayers.org for tickets and information. You don't want to miss it. Next week here on Backstage, I'm going to have representatives from the Warner Theater talking about the Irish and how they got that way. So make sure you tune in next week for that. And in the meantime, we'll leave you with, we'll do this one from Jekyll and Hyde, just a little snippet of it. This is Murder, Murder. Have a great week, everybody.
Read about the hideous murder, profane religious murder, that poor old bishop, what a shock.
Seen walking with his daughter a moment prior to slaughter,
the shepherd tending to his flock.
He died in a London slum,
a slave to martyrdom.
He died without complaint,
he should be made a saint.
He's gone back home to God,
it all seems very odd. Why should he be?
Litchfield County's favorite, FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington.